This is Focus West Michigan from WGVU for Monday, October 27, 2025. I'm Rick Bierling in for Joe Bilecki. In local news, recently the Grand Rapids City Commission was briefed on the formation of an Artificial Intelligence Council and how it plans to use AI tools in city government. WGVU's David Limbaugh has the details.
The city of Grand Rapids uses artificial intelligence. IT Director Doug Start explained AI is performing cybersecurity, document processing, and route planning.
As we proceed as a city, it will be important to be strategic and intentional about our implementation of AI.
To that end, the formation of an AI council is under consideration. It would guide the city, ensuring AI used within government functions is fair, safe, and effective. The council would include city leaders and local university experts supporting sustainable and responsible AI tech growth. City Manager Mark Washington.
We're going to have well-informed experts from academia, and the reason why we have done that, because some of you asked for me to go get people from the private sector, which may have a vested interest in accelerating product or technology.
Commissioners are embracing the idea of an AI council, with some expressing the need for public transparency. Third Ward Commissioner Kelsey Perdue.
We just saw one of our largest employers lay off hundreds of folks because they found new efficiencies through the use of AI.
No word yet on when the AI Council will be formed. I'm David Limbaugh.
The long-awaited Fruit Ridge Bridge replacement in Walker is finished. As WGVU's Dee Morrison reports, it opened today.
With fanfare from the Kanawha Hills High School Band, construction crews, lawmakers, and local leaders cut the ribbon Friday, celebrating the completion of the $30 million project that required drivers to detour around the major route for 7 months. The project stretched along Fruit Bridge Avenue from 3 Mile Road to Northridge Drive. The previous two-lane bridge over I-96 was more than 60 years old and too narrow to adequately handle the business and population growth in the area, says Mayor Gary Carey.
The economic impact for this is without words and without measure, because when you look at this, you have between 15 and 16,000 jobs in a 2 mile radius of this area. This is not just about the city of Walker, it's about West Michigan as a whole.
The bridge was replaced with 5 lanes, plus new bike and pedestrian paths connecting to area trailways, an important benefit, says State Representative Carol Glanville.
This was a missing connection between White Pine Pioneer and Standale Trail that opens up 200 miles of trail here in West Michigan from Muskegon to Cadillac.
Westbound I-96 was closed through the weekend as crews put the finishing touches on the bridge for Monday's reopening. I'm Dee Morrison.
East Grand Rapids city leaders want to approve a policy that promotes safe operation of e-mobility devices. WGBU's Phil Dawson reports.
I'm just glad we're having this discussion.
East Grand Rapids Commissioner Kate Skagg says she doesn't know what the city's ultimate e-bike policy will be, but it's time to set one.
Before a kid gets really hurt or is fatally injured.
City Manager Shay Charles says because the use of electric scooters and bikes is increasing,
our primary concern really is our younger riders.
And there are currently no rules clearly regulating their use. He thinks the City Commission should make some decisions on their safe operation during the coming cold weather months.
Anticipate the use of these devices will decline dramatically as we get into winter, so we want to be ready in early spring.
So far this school year, Charles says there have been 3 minor collisions between e-mobility devices and vehicles in East Grand Rapids, but resident Jerry Anderson says he's seen some close calls.
I've witnessed some near misses and been really scared with what's going on with the e-bikes.
And Commissioner Laura Schwartz.
I've had to pick up my toddler and swing them into the grass because someone goes zipping by on an e-scooter.
Operator education, incentives, and new bike lanes could be elements in the city's e-mobility policy.
We're not talking an outright ban, correct?
Not to my knowledge.
I'm Phil Dawson.
The Grand Rapids Public Museum's Enhanced Community Archives and Research Center is being renovated. WGVU's David Limbaugh attended today's groundbreaking.
Approximately 5% of the Grand Rapids Public Museum's collection is on display at its Van Andel Museum Center.
It's a shared facility with the City of Grand Rapids and Kent County, although the Public Museum occupies probably 80% of it, which houses our more than 250,000 artifacts and specimens.
Dale Robertson, president and CEO of the Grand Rapids Public Museum, points out the archives renovation will make those artifacts more accessible to the public for study and research.
98% of those 250,000 artifacts and specimens were donated by the people of West Michigan over 171 years.
The facility will boast a new public lobby and classroom space, and as a publicly owned entity, Robertson says the artifacts belong to the people.
There's an implied promise that we make these collections available to the public for what I argue is the highest and best use, which is education and the inspiration that comes from it.
When completed, Robertson hints the renovated center will be unlike any other in the nation. I'm David Limbaugh.
And the state treasurer is encouraging Michiganders to make a difference by volunteering with free tax prep programs. WGVU's Jennifer Moss has the details.
State Treasurer Rachel Eubanks is encouraging Michigan residents to make a difference and help out this tax season by volunteering with free tax preparation programs like Volunteer Income Tax Assistance, the Tax Counseling for the Elderly, and the AARP Foundation Tax Aid Programs. A state news release says these programs offer no-cost, high-quality tax preparation services to low- and moderate-income households, seniors, individuals with disabilities, and those who speak English as a second language. Each year, thousands of Michiganders rely on these services to file their returns, claim important tax credits, and more. State Treasurer Eubanks says, quote, "By volunteering, you can play a direct role in helping your neighbors achieve financial security while also gaining valuable skills and experience," end quote. Officials say no tax experience is required and anyone can get involved. Volunteers receive free training and IRS certification. Training options are both online and in person. You can go to MichiganFreeTaxHelp.org/volunteer to sign up to become a tax prep volunteer. I'm Jennifer Moss.
This is Focus West Michigan from WGVU. In a moment, GVSU professor Brian Johnson speaks with WGVU's Shelley Irwin to discuss his book, Through Blood and Brotherhood. In state news, Michigan Secretary of State Jocelyn Benson says the federal government does not have a right to voter data it's seeking in a lawsuit. In a video posted Friday, posted by her office, Benson says she won't violate state and federal privacy laws. Rick Pluta reports.
The Justice Department is suing Benson for voter records that include driver's license numbers and the last four digits of Social Security numbers. The DOJ alleges Michigan is not doing a good enough job of cleaning its rolls of ineligible voters. Benson says Michigan is complying with federal standards and the DOJ can do its job using publicly available data.
This has never happened before. So why is it happening now? Why do they want access to your personal information?
She says sharing that data puts Michigan voters at risk of identity theft. Benson says 29 other states run by Democrats and Republicans are also fending off similar Justice Department efforts. I'm Rick Pluta.
A trio of Michigan Republican gubernatorial candidates are kicking off Wednesday night in West Michigan. Colin Jackson has more.
The debates will provide a chance for the Republican hopefuls for governor to get their names out there and separate themselves from the field. Strategist John Selleck says, besides voters, candidates may be messaging to another important factor in the race, President Donald Trump.
The audience there will be small. It's out in rural Michigan. The audience, if there were a TV audience, it's not going to be very big. It's the way the clips get chopped up and put onto social media. And I know we will also see packages of the clips behind the scenes being sent to members, key members of the president's team.
Selleck says a Trump endorsement could help boost name recognition, among other benefits. The election for governor is over a year away. I'm Colin Jackson.
And additional federal aid has officially been declined for the ice storm that ravaged northern Michigan in March. The aid would have assisted residents with housing damages and helped utilities with storm repair-related costs. In a statement, Captain Kevin Sweeney of the Michigan State Police's Emergency Division called the denial disappointing but said, quote, "Michigan has a strong foundation for recovery." And that is state and local news here on Focus West Michigan. I'm Rick Bierling.
A new season of Powerful Women Let's Talk, honoring the women veterans of West Michigan, is coming November 10th. Hear from four women from your community as they share their stories of service, growth, and resilience.
And he looked at me and he said, "Do you know how historic this is?" And that's kind of when it hit me. I'm getting emotional now thinking about it. But yeah, I didn't realize it. I was just doing my duty. Subscribe to Powerful Women Let's Talk now, wherever you get your podcasts.
You're listening to WGVU's Focus West Michigan. Grand Valley State University Professor Brian Johnson joined WGVU's Shelley Irwin to discuss his book, Through Blood and Brotherhood. The book explores a German soldier in World War II based on personal diaries and oral histories.
The book is entitled Through Blood and Brotherhood, about a German soldier in World War II. Timely, obviously, for Veterans Day, and timely, as I'm sure you're ready to tell the world about this latest work, Through Blood and Brotherhood, Comrades and Enemies in World War II, Yugoslavia. You in the house, Brian Johnson. Good morning.
Good morning, Shelley.
Professor of Criminal Justice with Grand Valley State University, author, and another big role you play.
I'm also the Human Rights Program Coordinator at Grand Valley.
How many books under your belt?
I think this is number 6.
When did you know you wanted to become an author?
Well, I guess I discovered the joy of writing early on in my academic career. I've been at Grand Valley now for 30 years, and the nice thing about Grand Valley is our emphasis is on teaching, but we, you could say, enhance our teaching through scholarship. So ever since I've been here, I've been doing a lot of different types of writing, usually academic articles, and then, of course, textbooks, and then I stumbled upon a set of diaries that piqued my interest.
Detailed diaries of, is it Gottfried Weber?
Gottfried Weber. The listeners are wondering, how can a criminal justice professor and a human rights program coordinator write about World War II? And I guess this is the joy of my academic journey, where I took history classes, I took German, and I've always been a history buff. And I came across a set of diaries. I didn't think that they were that important, you could say, when I first discovered them. But I thought, okay, I'll use my German language skills, which were very limited. And I soon discovered that I had a 5-year span of the diaries of a German soldier that fought in Yugoslavia. So my next job was to translate these diaries, and I soon found that my German skills were not that good. So luckily, I found a member of the community that was in his 80s that spoke German fluently, and he understood the text. And these diaries were written in Sutherland text, which is a different script, you could say, and he could easily read them. So Bernie helped me translate these.
Do you find these diaries? What does this mean?
Oh, I found them online. The diaries start when he was 17 years old. I have categorized him as a very naive person. And later on, you could say in 1945, you could say that he was no longer naive about the world events, and his involvement in the Third Reich.
Tell us a little bit more about your story. Obviously, you're sharing his youthful normalcy during war, balancing friendships, I see, romance. But how is the book more?
Okay, the book is more in the context that what happened was I had the diaries translated, and then my friend Bernie that helped translate them said, is he still alive? And that was a very good question. So my friend Bernie reached out to the Waldenburg City Hall, and he grew up in Waldenburg, and he made contact with a person there, and she knew the family. That led to me contacting the son and daughter, who had no idea that he kept diaries. They grew up in East Germany. He never talked about the war, which is understandable. And then his son gave me one tip, and this tip, you could say, led to an explosion of sources. He said, you might want to call his old friend that still lives in Munich, that was in the same unit. So from there, I contacted Richard Vachter, was his name, and Richard said, well, you might want to contact this person, and this person. So one diary soon led to a lot of oral histories. But then what happened was I ran into a U.S. air crewman that was shot down over Yugoslavia. So he told me his story about being rescued by partisans. That led down what I call another rabbit hole. So the next thing you know, now I'm interviewing airmen that flew over Yugoslavia. Some were downed. Then, through social media sources, I just sent out word, basically, that I was working on World War II research in in Yugoslavia. And do you know of anybody? And that led to other sources where I interviewed former partisans individuals that grew up in Yugoslavia during World War II, Ustasha, you name it. Then the story goes on and on. Then I got a research grant and I retraced his steps. His diaries were so detailed that I could go, he had day-by-day entries. And then what I did is I used his diary entries and I mapped them out and I went back there, followed his route, and interviewed people on my journey there.
Literally, you went there.
I went there, yeah. Retraced his steps. Yeah. Yeah. And that's all in the book.
Your subtitle, Comrades and Enemies in World War II, Yugoslavia. So there were some enemies.
Yes. In this case, of course, he was German. And his enemies were the Allied forces. So we had the U.S. Airmen that I talked about. I also interviewed British, and I also interviewed partisans. So what happened was, is through the diaries, I built a complete picture, you could say, of what was going on in Yugoslavia during World War II. And what was interesting was it was a civil war going on during the German occupation. So it was a real mess, you could say, for the Germans and other Axis forces there.
Brian Johnson with us through Blood and Brotherhood, Comrades and Enemies in World War II Yugoslavia, your latest work, of course, Grand Valley State University, professor also with the human rights in charge of that, yes. Mm-hmm. It's funny, I was looking at your front cover, I opened the book and there's the picture, and I turned right to that picture. Describe your front cover.
Okay, the front cover are some individuals that I interviewed. You'll see that there are Axis forces there. And the one person on the cover was a former SS enlisted person. And he had a very interesting story. I think a lot of times when you think SS, you think very vicious individuals, and of course they were. But he was a young kid that grew up in Yugoslavia. He was ethnic German, and the next thing you know, he was drafted. Even though they called it a volunteer division, it wasn't too voluntary in 1943 when the Germans needed as many individuals as possible.
Such detail in your writing as I peruse your work, with a lot of photography involved.
Yes, as part of the diaries, I also there were 54 photographs with it.
What is your message to those who have a day job, a very important day job, and yet know that history is important and can want to continue the read? How important is it to, follow your passions in addition to, your day job?
Well, I'd always encourage everybody to have a hobby to pursue their passions. In this case, my passion, one of my hobbies, is World War II history. I was very fortunate, you could say, to have the time. And the only thing that really gave me the time was COVID, of all things, where I was limited in my social activities, and I wasn't on house lockdown, but it was pretty close to lockdown, as we can all recall. And that gave me the time to really sit down and organize things.
How do we find your book?
Well, the book, of course, is online. It's on Amazon. The publisher is Casemate, and you can go to their site, too.
All right. Is there another book in you?
Yeah, there's another book in me. At least one or two more books. I've come across another set of diaries. I may pursue that one again.
They say it keeps you young, busy, and focused. Thanks for doing that with the many talents you have. Through Blood and Brotherhood is your latest, Comrades and Enemies in World War II, Yugoslavia. Thank you, Brian Johnson.
And that is Focus West Michigan for Monday, October 27, 2025. Focus West Michigan is a WGVU public media production. I'm Rick Bierling, program director. Patrick Center is our news and public affairs director. We will see you tomorrow.